السقم دهارا طاري
تقال العثار العظام به.
Assalamu alaikum everybody and welcome back to the podcast. So if you're new here, my name is Mihad and I'm your host on my new podcast, Wherever You're At. So on this podcast, we focus on self-improvement through Islam and just generally girl talk, like sisterhood and having a kind of cute little community to be with every week where we talk about Islam, we talk about life and our identities and just connecting with each other through Islam. So last week, I posted my first ever podcast episode and you guys blew that thing up. Like you blew it up. I was so overwhelmed by the love and support that you guys gave me, like the messages, the feedback, the reviews, the ratings. Like I didn't expect that for my first podcast, honestly. Like I had hoped that we would build that community later, but like actually building it from the jump, I was so like, alhamdulillah for you guys, alhamdulillah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making me able to have this podcast and have this platform, because this is, like I said, something I've wanted to do forever. And the fact that from the first episode, y'all decided to run with it, not even knowing if it was going to be good or not. I had people telling me they listened to it multiple times. I was like, how do you listen to my voice for 40 minutes multiple times? Like, what? I couldn't have asked for like a better start or a better reaction to that first episode. So thank you guys for that. So for today's episode, a lot of people were very excited for this episode. They were telling me right after listening to the first one that they were already looking forward to me posting episode 2. So I was like, all right, I got to get to work. Like I got to start planning this podcast for them so I can get it out as soon as possible. And alhamdulillah, I did record it yesterday fully, like literally a 1 hour podcast recorded yesterday. And then alhamdulillah, it got deleted fully. Like the whole thing is nowhere to be found. It was very disappointing. And although I wasn't like super confident in the episode that I recorded, I definitely got my flow in like middle of the episode. And I went in depth. I got personal. Like I did everything in that episode. And then I don't know why it got deleted. I just can't find it. And like I said, for the first episode, I almost deleted that one as well. Someone needs to teach me how to use this technology because I don't have the best track record. When my first episode almost got deleted, I had told you guys that having tawakkul and just feeling like, all right, that probably got deleted because maybe I was saying something that wasn't supposed to be said, or maybe I could have done it better and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that I shouldn't be saying that, or I can say something better or something like that. So basically what I'm saying is my mindset is less of like break down and cry and more of like trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is much more relaxing and soothing and just peaceful to have that trust in Allah. However, that trust really got tested yesterday because my first episode didn't actually get deleted. So me saying that mindset, like that was just me talking. So yesterday I kind of had to actually live in the test of, are you still going to trust Allah and trust his plan and the process, or are you going to break down the floor crying? And I did almost cry, but you know what? To have tawakkul in Allah, to have trust in Allah's plan, that doesn't mean that you're not allowed to have emotion, okay? You're still allowed to feel disappointed, depressed, sad, anxious. Like you are allowed to feel those things, but doing it with tawakkul is the goal. So for example, dang, that sucked, but alhamdulillah, like maybe there was something wrong with the episode and so I'll just re-record it. And then that night I just kind of felt down, as opposed to like, what the heck? Why me? Like, this always happens to me. Like, I don't understand. Like, you see the difference? Like, there's one of them is having emotion, but still having trust. And the other one is just like explosion of emotion and kind of like an entitlement that bad things shouldn't happen to you, which is not guaranteed for this world. But yeah, just food for thought. But that was pretty disappointing. But you know what? Maybe I will just always have to do 2 takes when it comes to these podcasts, because I definitely get my flow in the second take and it's always much, much better than the first one. So thank you, Lord, for that one. So for today's topic, I posted on my story and I asked you guys what topic you wanted to see. So I gave you guys a few options. I gave you Ramadan preparation and setting goals, feeling far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and low self-esteem in Islam. And then the last option was all the above. You guys all chose all the above. Okay. There was a few people, however, that were like, you should separate those topics into 3 different episodes because they're really big and we want to hear Ramadan first and then the other ones. I agree. There is so much to talk about, but I feel like how can we start preparing for Ramadan and setting goals when we are feeling far from Allah or when we have that low self-esteem. So I want to make sure everyone is catered to in this episode, people that have that strong connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and people who don't. So I want to make sure it's for everyone. So yes, I will be hitting all the points today, not as extensively as I would want, but I can always revisit them in later episodes. So before we get started though with our Ramadan episode, last week we said that we were going to add an advice segment, which you guys are really excited about. Later on, we'll have like a title and a little, you know, cute like nasheed right before it. Maybe I'll even do that today. But basically, you guys DM me sometimes and you ask for advice. And then if your advice kind of lines up with the topic that I'm talking about, or maybe it doesn't even have to, I'm going to incorporate it in the episode, obviously with your guys' permission and not mentioning names or anything that can kind of breach your privacy. And then I'll publicly give you guys advice on this platform in case that there's other people who are going through the same exact thing or something similar, or they know someone going through something similar and it can help people on a larger scale. Now, for the girl today, I had already responded to her, but I'm going to use it again because I feel like her message is very, very beneficial for those of you who want to improve in their deen, but they don't know how to start, or they have family that's kind of hesitant about them taking steps towards Islam. So I'm going to go ahead and read her message, and then I'm going to kind of explain to you guys what I said to her and what I would say for anyone else going through this. So she said, "I listened to your podcast today and I really enjoyed it. You said you get a ton of DMs asking you for help, and I've been struggling recently, so I hope this isn't too weird. So my family and I have drifted so far from the masjid and Islam in general. We say we're Muslims, but like none of us practice it very well, if at all. Anyways, I would say the past year or so for me, all I've wanted to do is like relearn my faith, is the best way I can put it. And I have no Muslim friends, so I don't really have anyone to talk to. Yesterday, I decided that I want to put on the hijab. I've always wanted to, but I never have. I told myself I'd put it on after college, after I'm done with college sports and practicing in short and tanks, but yesterday I decided I can do both, compete and wear the hijab. I talked to my mom about it and she was very hesitant. She says it'll be too hot and that I should start by being a better Muslim and praying regularly, and I can get to the hijab later on. However, I think if I put it on now, it'll be easier for me to start praying all the time and everything. Plus, you never really know when your last day is, so you don't want to say, oh, I'll be a better Muslim later. What do you think would be best? Sorry, this is so long. Haha, I'm just lost." Okay, so this message in particular really warmed my heart. Like, it was very heartwarming to read because you can tell the urge that she has to be better is there. Like, she has that urge. She has that desire. She has that intention. And mashallah, that's what you need. Like, that's all you need to start. You don't need support from anyone. You don't need to be at a certain place in your life or finished with school. You just need that intention and that commitment, and it looks like she has that. So I applaud that. Like, I'm actually inspired myself. The fact that she has no one around her that kind of pushes her to be a better Muslim. Like, I feel like a lot of us grow up with moms that wake us up for fajr or dads that take us to the masjid, and a lot of people don't have that, or a lot of people's families are not fully practicing. And so for the people out there that are putting their foot forward and saying, no, I'm actually going to practice, I'm going to be a better Muslim, I am inspired by you guys. Like, that I feel like is much harder than having a family that supports you and kind of takes you through Islam. So for her mom, I think a lot of us maybe are slightly shocked that a mom would be like, oh, like, don't wear it yet. Like, don't do it yet. But I understand where her mom's coming from. I think her mom wears hijab, so she already knows the struggles of hijab. She knows it's not easy. She knows that it can be a struggle. And then also her daughter's in sports, so obviously it's hot outside and it's also the middle of the year. So I understand why her mom is nervous about it. But what I don't necessarily agree with is when her mom said, try and pray first and then the hijab will come later. I disagree. Hijab does not have a timeline. And I feel like the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like salat and hijab, they don't have timelines. You don't have to have one to have the other, or start with this one, then with this one. We should be doing all of them simultaneously. So whichever one you end up starting with is your choice. So she says she wants to start with the hijab and it's going to make praying easier for her. And I kind of agree, because you're already fully dressed in the hijab attire to pray. So I feel like out in public, that's already easier. And then also just having that kind of Muslim identity where someone looks at you first and thinks, oh, like, she's a Muslim, or you're walking around and you're just conscious of your belief and your religion and what you stand for. So I do feel like hijab does help with that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like I said, you don't have to be hijabi to start praying, and you also don't have to pray to be a hijabi. Like, they're not mutually exclusive. Like, you can do one or the other or both. We should be doing all of them. That's the fact. So, like I said, I understand where her mom's coming from, but I think sit with your mom, talk to her about what you're telling me and how you think you can do both. Like, you think you can wear hijab and it'll help you achieve the other things she's talking about, like praying regularly. And I think she'll understand. And if she doesn't, just tell her that you want to make this choice for yourself and agree with her. Like you want to make this choice for yourself, and you understand that it comes with struggles and it's not going to be easy, but you're doing this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you're right, you could literally die any day, and it's much better to die in a state of improvement, a state of you trying to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of staying where you are at the time. Because for me, it feels like your mom has a perfectionism mindset of like, try to do these things first, because if you're not doing these, there's no point in doing this one. And I understand that mindset, because there's times where I've had it and it's literally stopped me from improving in my deen and getting better, because I was just like, all right, well, if I'm not praying right now, then why would I do this? Or if I'm not wearing my hijab properly, then why would I pray? And stuff like that. So I say, scratch that mindset, scratch that perfectionism, and take that step for yourself, because you have that commitment, you have that confidence. I want you to just go headfirst into it. DM me if you have any questions or any issues about hijab and stuff, and I'll literally be there, because I'm really proud of the fact that you want to take that step for yourself to say, no, I am a practicing Muslim, and even though my family's not there yet, I want to take this step for myself. Because on the Day of Judgment, you're not going to be asked about your family, you're going to be asked about yourself. And so that's my advice for you. Like I said, have that combo with your mom, and hopefully, inshallah, she comes around. I hope that kind of helped other people who are kind of going through the same thing. I'm definitely going to have an entire episode, if not two episodes, about hijab, because I feel like that's such a big topic that a lot of girls don't really have like that older sister to talk to them about, or kind of like reestablish the purpose of hijab with them, or even where to start, like where to, like, I want to be a hijabi, where do I start kind of vibe. So trust me, that is coming very, very soon. I also want to have guests on that episode where I bring people who maybe put on hijab recently, or people who took the hijab off, or people who've been wearing it since childhood. Like, I want you guys to have all the perspectives, so I'm really, really excited for that. I'm gonna have to invest in another mic because I only have two, but inshallah that episode will be beneficial and it'll come soon. Okay, so now for today's episode, we talked about how we're gonna talk about all the topics: Ramadan prep, setting goals, feeling far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or that kind of low self-esteem mindset. So I don't know about you guys, but I am super, super excited for Ramadan, but I'm also very nervous. I'm nervous for how it's going to look this year. Last year, we kind of had a little bit of COVID mixed into it, and the year before, it was just completely a COVID Ramadan. And this year, I also moved away from my childhood masjid, like about 30, 40 minutes away. So I'm kind of sad about that, because that masjid just holds so many core memories for me, and I don't want that time to be over. So I definitely will be going there as much as I can. But for those of you who don't know what Ramadan is, because this podcast is not restricted to people who are educated in Islam or have a good background knowledge about it, this is for anyone willing to learn. And also, revisiting the meaning of Ramadan and like where it comes from is, I feel like, beneficial to us, because it's a reminder of what Ramadan really is. So Ramadan is a holy month for Muslims, because it is the month where the Holy Quran was revealed to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, when I say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it means peace be upon him, and you repeat after me in Islam, because we send peace and blessings to our Prophet. But yeah, so it is a holy month where there's fasting and prayer, reflection, community. At night, we gather around in prayer and we spend the nights praying, and it's kind of just a time for us to get closer to our deen, to get closer to our religion. Personally, I have so many goals for this Ramadan, because it's just a month for you to improve and reflect on how you are throughout the entire year. Like, what kind of Muslim are you? How practicing are you? And like, what can you do to make that better? And just a reminder of why we're on this earth in general, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and work for our akhirah. So I'm really excited for this Ramadan. So like I said, in Ramadan we fast, and I don't know about y'all, but fasting is not easy for me. Like, I am a big foodie and I don't have a great relationship with food, but I'm trying to make it better. For example, yesterday ordering a full freaking 2-course meal because my podcast got deleted. Like, food is definitely a comfort for me, so fasting is not the easiest thing. And then also I'm working full time. Like, this is my first Ramadan where I'm working 5 days a week from 5 o'clock to 3 p.m. And I am basically waking up before suhoor and driving to work before adhan even went off. So it's definitely making me nervous on like how I'm gonna go about that, like full-time work. And then also I'm in school and then also Ramadan. Like, it's a lot, but inshallah, I'll be able to do it. And I kind of already got an idea of what it's gonna feel like to fast at work. I work with kids because I'm a student teacher, and it's a lot. Like, it is a lot. It's really taxing. It's a hard job. For anyone that says teaching is easy, it's easy to become a teacher, but it's not easy to be a teacher because, dang, those kids really make me work for my money. And by money, I mean non-existent money because I'm not paid. But anyways, alhamdulillah for the opportunity that I have. But like I said, I kind of got a vibe of what it feels like to fast because I was busy making up my 19 days from last Ramadan. Yeah, I said 19. If you can beat me, like if you have more days to make up from last Ramadan, just last Ramadan, I would be impressed because I have more days to make up than I even fasted last Ramadan. So yeah, I was making up those days. I'm not even done, but at work I would be fasting and it wasn't the hardest thing in the world. I was just so exhausted afterwards. And like, obviously I didn't have tarawih after so I could sleep and like do homework and all that. But now I have tarawih, so I have to find a way to like fit a nap throughout the day before going to the masjid and then also leaving early. And yeah, I'm going to have to make like a whole plan for that. But yeah, I'm also, not only am I nervous about fasting, like, you know, being up before suhoor and then fasting all day and all that and how it's going to be hard and taxing on the body, but I'm also nervous about not really feeling the vibe of Ramadan. And I know you guys know what I mean by just feeling like the Ramadan energy, because like I said, I moved away from my childhood masjid and I'm working full time and I'm going to be sleep deprived and all that. So I'm nervous, but inshallah, I feel like if I make the effort to go to different masjids or go to tarawih and make a good plan to where I'm not falling behind in school and stuff, then I'll start to feel the vibe of Ramadan. I'm literally thinking of decorating my room and my car because I'm going to be in those places so often. I'm going to put lights up and put little lanterns everywhere. Like, I want to feel the vibe, and I swear I'm going to force myself to feel it. And I feel like this Ramadan is going to be a little bit lonelier than others just because I am, like I said, I'm far away from my masjid and I'm kind of working all the time. But I feel like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes you alone at times just to test if you're going to be as practicing as you are around people. If you're going to continue that streak of like going to the masjid and praying on time and being God conscious throughout the day and doing dhikr and all that stuff and seeing if you're going to do that by yourself. It's kind of like a test, in my opinion. So I don't know, just food for thought. But the vibe I'm talking about is like, okay, for me, Ramadan as a kid was literally heaven. Like, my mom went from saying no to me hanging out with my friends after Sunday school. Like, she's like, no, we're going home. To Ramadan, seeing them every single night. And obviously she's not going to say no because I'm going to the masjid. So every single night I get to see my friends after school. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we get to dress cute and wear our cute abayas. And we get to, my masjid, we always ate together, like iftar every single night, which I realized other masjids don't do. Like, some masjids don't have that. And I'm like, y'all are missing out. Like, try your best to do like potlucks every night if you guys can, if you guys have the means. But yeah, we ate together every single night. We prayed together. We were being crackheads in the parking lot and we were swinging on swings in the playground that were meant for 6-year-olds, not 15-year-olds. But I just absolutely loved it. Like, I loved going to the masjid. It was, everyone looked forward to Ramadan. And obviously I never, growing up, we never had Ramadan in the school year. So this is kind of, this is new to me now. But Ramadan was like summer vibes. It felt like a summer camp, like, let's be for real. And then me and my friends had this tradition where we would make a video called Ramadan Diaries, where we'd put all of our crazy videos from Ramadan together in a collage. And then we would title it Ramadan Diaries 2020 or Ramadan Diaries 2014 or whatever. And we would just watch it back like on Eid or like afterwards. And it was so fun to see like the whole month all in one. Ugh, that was so cute. I can't believe we did that. I think I still have like a video or two, but it's kind of sad growing up because those days were, they were like one of the best nights of my life, honestly. I loved being surrounded by Muslims all the time. Like, any carnivals or volunteer events or masjid, like, I was always down because we were surrounded by Muslims. And ICNA and, like, TDC and all that stuff, That was my vibe. Like, if you could tell me that there's a bunch of Muslims everywhere gathered, I'll be there. That's just what I wanted, because I feel like growing up as a girl in Southern Texas, I didn't have this feeling of like welcoming from the people I was surrounded with at public school. You know, like, you wanted to be surrounded by people who looked like you or shared your beliefs or just made you feel welcome. So the masjid kind of gave me that, and those conventions gave me that. And that's why Ramadan was so exciting, because I would have that every single day. But like I said, my masjid had iftar and tarawih every night. And as a kid, like, I wouldn't pray all the tarawih. I swear, like, I was a pain in my mom's butt. Like, I really don't know how she dealt with me. And if that thing where you're going to have, like, your kids are going to treat you the way you treated your mom, Lord, please no. Like, actually, please no. Because someone go back in time and give me, like, a slap on the face, because I was just so annoying. Like, my mom would constantly try to be like, Mihad, come inside to pray. Come inside to pray. It's not time to talk or hang out with your friends. It's time to pray. So I'd come in for two rak'ahs, and then the FOMO was real. So I would, like, go out for two rak'ahs, talk with my friends, because I swear, during tarawih, you would miss, like, 3 years worth of inside jokes if you missed the outside conversations. So some of my friends had moms that were like, pray right now. And some of them had moms that were not very strict about them praying tarawih. And we were not, like, kids. Like, we were, like, 13, 14. So obviously, my mom had a point. She wanted me to pray because it's a blessed month, and she wanted me to make sure that tarawih was my priority and not hanging out with friends. But obviously, I had different plans. And then there was times, like, growing up, obviously, I started to pray tarawih more. And I'd be like, okay, mama, like, I will pray all of tarawih and then hang out with my friends. But then my mom had the audacity to try to dip right after tarawih is over. I was like, girl, meet me in the middle, please. So I think we had this, like, deal where I'd pray half, and then the other half I would get to hang out with my friends. But like I said, growing up, I started to kind of appreciate tarawih more, and how going to the masjid was not just for friends. And I had all of iftar with them, and so I should spend tarawih time actually praying tarawih. So I would pray it, but I did not have good focus at all. Like, I could literally be in salat thinking about why the lady's toes next to me look like that, or how I'm going to finish an essay that's due at 11:59 when I come home at 11:15. So I was never in the right mind, astaghfirullah, but I'm just being honest. But I started to, because tarawih is a sunnah prayer, so it's permissible to hold the Quran and follow along with your finger, like, wherever the sheikh is. I don't know about your finger, maybe just holding it. And so what I did, and what my friends did, we'd all get Qur'ans, and we'd, like, peek over the shoulder of another lady just to see, like, what page we're on. And then we would start praying, and we would follow along with the sheikh. And that honestly really helped my focus. And I still do that to this day, because just knowing where we are and what words he's saying and following along, it just really helps me be present in my salat. So if you struggle with focus in tarawih, I recommend that. But reminder that you can't do that in fard, like, you can't do that for obligatory prayers like Maghrib and Isha, just tarawih. But yeah, after that, we had COVID. All right, so COVID Ramadan, not to be a trigger, but obviously we all know that was very lonely and depressing. And my parents were very strict on COVID, so there was no, like, friend iftars, there was no masjid, there was no, like, none of that existed, okay? This was, like, peak TikTok just got downloaded, and quarantine is going on, you're on FaceTime with your friends, you're up all night, asleep all day, like, online school, all that stuff. So that COVID was depressing. I don't even want to get into it, but now I feel like I am in a good place. Like, I feel like, especially this year, I've had insane growth, but I'm talking about just last year, Ramadan, I feel like I was more present in my fasting and present in my prayer. And so I want to make sure this Ramadan is like that, but even more. Especially, like I said, I've had a lot of growth this year. I want to implement that into my Ramadan, like, actually doing extra things, not even extra things, I swear. Like, I want to make sure, I'm reading Quran is not extra. Like, I want to do that often. I want to create that schedule. I want to attend more lectures. I just want to improve, you know, that's obviously the goal. So in order to prep for Ramadan, you need to understand the purpose of why we are doing what we're doing, okay? So I want to get into that. Because I know it's very often that we get lost in the excitement of Ramadan. Clearly, you can hear how excited I get about it. And it's normal that we're super excited to see our friends and excited to go to the masjid, or just excited to gain that closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again, because I feel like a lot of us lose it throughout the year. But I want to remind you that Ramadan is an opportunity to grow spiritually and improve that God consciousness. That's what we should be focusing on. We should focus on how Ramadan is kind of like a boot camp. Like, it's, you get put in the camp and then you become better and then you use that for the rest of the year. And I know it seems to fade away after a few months, but then Ramadan comes again and it happens again every single year. So just a reminder that that's what we want to be doing. We want to be growing in every single aspect of your life, in prayer, in modesty, in what you say, in what you hear, in what you listen to, in what you care about, what you put your energy into, all that stuff. Like, it's improving those through the deen is our goal for Ramadan. We don't want to just try our best to be as religious, quote unquote religious, as possible in Ramadan and then lose it right after. Like, Ramadan, we want to ride with those good habits afterwards. Ramadan is a time to reset your intentions, to kind of reflect on all the habits that you have, the good ones, the bad ones, replacing the bad ones with good habits. Because like I said, Ramadan always comes when you need it the most. I swear, like, you're like, yes, finally, like, it's like a rejuvenation, a recharge or whatever. But yeah, so that's like a rough outline of what we want to focus on. But now let me get into the core. Let me get into like my reflections of why Ramadan, like, why do we fast? Why do we do this stuff? So a big part of Ramadan is fasting, correct? So we fast from food and we fast from water. From sunrise to sunset, we do not eat and we do not drink. The two things that we literally need to survive, we are capable of staying away from them for the sake of Allah. Like, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were not to say that we needed to fast, none of us would do it. So clearly we are doing it solely for the sake of Allah. And obviously we desire water. Obviously we desire food and we throughout the whole day. And yet we're capable of staying away from it, right? So stay with me. Fasting in Ramadan is clear proof that you're capable of giving up your desires for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I know there's those certain sins that you're like, I just can't give it up. I can't do it. Like, I like it too much. Or, girl, you give up water and food in Ramadan throughout the day. You give up water and food. You are capable, with the right effort and the right mindset, you are capable of giving up that bad deed, of giving up that bad habit for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I think it's a beautiful way of showing us, because I personally have a kind of like issue of feeling incapable in certain aspects of my life. And so it's a very good reminder that I am actually capable of doing hard things. I'm capable of giving up things that I feel like I could never give up. Also, like I said, Ramadan is a built-in habit builder. Like, I don't think it's a coincidence that it takes roughly 30 days to build a habit or break a bad habit. And Ramadan is 30 days, correct? So you go into Ramadan, and if you use it properly and you give up that bad habit for 30 days, you are literally set for the rest of the year. Like, you have practiced that habit. So I think it's beautiful that Ramadan gives us that kind of 30-day cushion to create a good habit or break a bad habit. Anyways, guys, obviously what I'm saying is all reflection. I probably picked it up from sheikhs over the years or things that I've learned growing up, but these are pure reflections. If I don't say it's a fact, then it's not a fact, okay? Just a reminder that I'm not a scholar, I'm not a sheikh. These are my thoughts and my reflections on the deen. So obviously the goal is to go into Ramadan wanting to create those new habits, wanting to stay away from our desires, but it is hard to do that if you feel far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And feeling far from Allah is very... it's a very like gut-wrenching feeling when you actually think about it. So I know that when people feel far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we tend to disassociate from that fact, because obviously when you think about it, it's not a good feeling. Like, you don't feel good about it. You feel like blue and dark and alone and isolated. But it's so crazy how we don't actually know our religion. Like, we don't know our deen enough, and it shows when we kind of get stuck in that rut of feeling far from Allah, because we feel like we're kind of hopeless, we're kind of like a lost cause. But Islam is just quite the opposite of that. Like, you at any time can turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's that quote from Hadith Qudsi that we all know but we don't actually deep: take one step towards me and I will take 10 steps towards you, walk towards me and I will run towards you. Those are literally the words of our Lord. He is telling us that you make that small effort, I'll make a big one. You walk, I'll run. We are blessed to have a Lord that is so merciful and ready for us to come to Him. He loves the servant that comes back to Him. And yet we kind of stay in that mindset of, I'm too bad. I'm too much of a sinner. I'm like a lost cause. Like, I can't come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you can. You're literally one dua away, one salat away. What is that Charlie Puth song? Never mind. Actually, anyways, did I just relate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to a Charlie Puth song? No freaking way. I take that back, guys. Please. But what I'm saying is that it's literally one conversation away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And obviously, you will not feel like super close or back to feeling comfortable in your deen with one conversation. But it's a start. And if you start, Allah will come running towards you. So I urge you guys to make those small efforts. Like, if you're not praying, try and pray one of the salats in the day, the one where you're at home and you're not doing anything. Maybe it's Maghrib, but if you're just going to do that salat, just do that salat. I'm tired of this like perfection of mindset that I'm stuck in and you guys get stuck in as well. Allah does not demand perfection. He demands progress. He wants us to be constantly improving ourselves and coming back to Him and sinning and repenting and sinning and repenting and sinning and repenting. I want to share this quote from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam because I think it helps those of us that kind of have that deep guilt of past sins or even current sins that we are doing and feeling like unworthy of Allah's love. It's easy to feel like a hypocrite or to feel silly talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or praying when you haven't prayed before or making dua when you haven't made it in months. I know the feeling of like, I can't do this. It feels like I'm not talking to anyone. It feels far. I feel not close enough. But the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, had you not committed sin, Allah would have brought into existence a creation that would have committed sin and would have forgiven them. To kind of paraphrase this quote that our beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, it's saying that if we were not to sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would literally wipe us out and replace us with a creation that will sin and come back to Him. So if you are thinking that I'm a sinner, so I'm like a lost cause, there's no point, Allah would wipe you out if you were not a sinner. Like, He would completely get rid of us and replace us with people that sin or a creation that sins. You are meant to sin. We are human. You are meant to sin, but you are also meant to come back to Him. And that's the part we forget. That's the part where Shaitan gets us and he's like, I don't know, you sin too much. Like, you just sinned yesterday. You know you're going to sin tomorrow. There's no point. There's no point in coming back to Allah. How are you going to talk to Him and then do the same sin tomorrow? Like, He is so, if I could punch Him in the face, I really would. But He is so good at His job. But we are better. But to me, that quote is so grounding to me. Like, to whenever I feel that intense guilt of past sin, that one sin that you can't even forgive yourself for, it eats you up all the time when you think about it. And it's like, who are we to not forgive ourselves for something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would forgive us for, if only we were just to turn to Him? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you were to commit sin until your sins reached the heavens, then you were to repent, your repentance would be accepted. Your sins to reach the heavens, guys. Like, we really don't understand the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how He's just waiting for us to turn back to Him. He loves us more than a mother loves her baby. And I know that's not even easy to comprehend. Like, a mother and her newborn baby. Like, just deep that for a second. He loves you more than that. So understanding His love for you makes it easier to understand why things happen in your life, or easier to understand why you can come back to Him and why you're worthy of forgiveness. Anyways, I could talk about that for like days, but then this podcast would be way too long to edit. So moving on. But like I said, my advice for the guilt is to learn about who your Lord really is. Learn His attributes and His mercy. And I promise you that feeling will become lighter on your shoulders. I hope that I'm creating a like healing and hopeful kind of environment for you, because going into Ramadan, you need to be positive. You need to have an open mind and be motivated in order to benefit from the month. Because if you go in feeling like after Ramadan, I'm just going to be the same, or I can't give up this sin, so I shouldn't give up any of them, or why would I do this good deed if 10 minutes later I'm going to do a bad deed? That's not the mindset you should have. have the mindset of I'm doing what I can and I will continue trying to do my best. Really trying to do your best, giving up those things that make you happy in this life but will not benefit you in the afterlife. That's the important thing. We don't want to come out of Ramadan just feeling hungry and sleep deprived. Like we want Ramadan to shape us into the people that we want to be for the rest of the year after Ramadan is over. So now that I've hopefully set you up to have a more positive mindset coming into Ramadan, let's put that mindset into action. Let's put it into work by creating goals for this Ramadan that we can share in our little podcast community and we can follow up. And I feel like sharing the same goals makes it kind of more exciting to follow through with them and hold us accountable. So I'm just going to share 5 of my Ramadan goals with you guys, and I hope that it inspires you to take them on. And you can also change things up. If they're too small for you, make bigger goals. If they're too big for you, make smaller goals. The goal is to just make them achievable and adapt them to your goals and your improvements that you want in Ramadan. Because remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is progress-oriented and not result-oriented. Just like the hadith about replacing us if we were not to sin, remember that we're meant to fall down, but we're supposed to be getting up and turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we fall. The important thing is that we don't stop trying to be better. Always, always be in a state of improvement. Because if you die today, if you die this second, you die while you're improving yourself. You're not dying in a state where you're not even making the effort to be better. That's the important thing. We need to actively be making sacrifices and efforts for the deen instead of staying comfortable in where we are. Okay, so starting off strong, my first goal for this Ramadan is to be present, like living in the moment. I know that kind of sounds like a New Year's resolution, but I want to be present everywhere. I want to be present in my salat. Like I want to be self-aware in what I'm doing, and in my salat is meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like I want to be present and aware. I want to be less distracted. I want to stop filling my time with TikTok and shows and just pointless things. I want to actually fill them with stuff that's going to benefit me, stuff that's going to help me grow. I want to be present in my fasting. Like I want to understand what I'm doing, how I'm restraining from eating and drinking for the sake of Allah. Like I want to not just do things mindlessly and blindly. I want to be present. Okay, my next one's kind of weird to think about, but it should be a goal that we all have, but my goal is to not backbite at all. And personally, I gave up backbiting a while ago. Like I gave it up. I mean, I don't start the combos of talking crap about people, or I try not to entertain it or egg it on. And I'm self-aware when it's happening. Obviously, I slip up, and I slip up a lot. And guys, I'm not saying I'm like this girl that talks bad about other girls, okay? I just mean like, you know how fine the line is between like ranting and talking crap. Like just saying, oh, like I love her. Like I love her so much, but she's really annoying. But like, I still love her. Like she's the best person ever. You know what I'm saying? Like that kind of talking crap, like I feel like I don't start it a lot of the time, but I need to be walking away more often. I need to be changing the subject more often. Like I want to be so far away from backbiting and like talking about people's business and drama and all that stuff, because the punishment of backbiting, guys, Lord, is literally eating the flesh of your brother. Like cannibalism, guys, like eating the flesh of your brother. And I know when you think about that, you think disgusting, right? And my reflection on that is kind of like, it's like, oh, why that gruesome of a punishment for backbiting? But guys, backbiting is one of the biggest sins in Islam. Like, it's literally one of the biggest sins. And I feel like we are not aware of that, or we don't really deep that often. But you know when like someone's talking about your friend in a bad way and you look at them and you're like, ugh, you're disgusting. Like, why would you talk about her like that? Like, you're kind of disgusted by them, right? So I feel like that kind of connects to the disgusting nature of the punishment as well. And it's kind of like a reminder to me that backbiting is literally disgusting. Like you should never be entertaining it, no matter what scale it's on. Like even if it's light, or even if you would quote unquote say it to their face, like it doesn't matter. Backbiting is something that they would not like to hear if they were there. Like they would not be happy with it if they were there. So I think we really need to be careful with backbiting in this Ramadan and hopefully forever. Even if the person warrants it, like even if it's someone who genuinely did something wrong, it's just not good to talk about people behind their back unless you're seeking actual advice from someone, not just sharing it with everyone, you know what I mean? But there's still no benefit in backbiting. So that's my goal number two. Goal number three, I want to not listen or watch things that are obviously number one, haram or pointless. So for example, music is something that I want to completely cut out for the month of Ramadan, which is kind of hard because girl, I'm addicted to TikTok. So I don't know, like maybe volume down or just like not being on there often. If I'm going to be on there, it's not going to be while I'm fasting. It needs to be like after I'm done fasting or for a very limited amount of time. And obviously, guys, the goal is to cut it out completely, but just like an addiction to anything, some people cannot just cut it cold turkey. Like you need to take those baby steps in order to improve. So yes, I should be cutting out music completely, but I know myself and I know that if I cut out music completely that I'll have like a withdrawal or something and I will go and I'll binge it for like hours. So I want to make sure that I'm making achievable goals for myself so that I can kind of build on those goals the better I get at giving it up. So yeah, I want to give it up ideally forever, but it's hard, like I said, so I'm working on it. But also just mindlessly scrolling on social media, just filling my brain with pointless things, even watching TV shows when I could actually be taking the time to learn something new, to read Quran, or even like I said, being present where I am, like my first goal. But yeah, goal number four, make conscious effort to learn my book, the Quran. How embarrassing, guys. I'm so beyond embarrassed that I would literally die for Islam. Like when I was younger, anyone that would go on Instagram and comment something bad about Islam, I would be in those comment replies for days. Like I would literally be replying to them like, how could you say that about Islam? Islam is the best religion ever, right? Like I would just be crazy on them. And growing up, obviously still, I would ride or die for Islam. And then I can't even say that I fully know the book, that I fully read the book or I fully know the meaning of the book. Like, I can't even say that. My own book, guys. We got people out here doing Bible studies and I'm not doing a Quran study. Why is that? Why is that? It's literally the word of God. Like it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's words. I'm out here like amazed by Istanbul or Cappadocia or the Bahamas. And then I can't even be amazed or give the time of the day for the word of the one who created those things. Anyways, just a harsh little reflection for myself, but I want to learn the book. I want to connect with it and I want to live by it. So that's one of my big goals for Ramadan. And then finally, goal number five, I want to really internalize salat for what it really is, because honestly, I've caught myself doing the chicken salat, the up and down, up and down, up and down. And I really want to make sure I change that. I want to make sure that I understand that salat is a meeting, a one-on-one meeting with my Lord. And I know, guys, it's hard to really understand things that are unseen, but that's our faith. Our faith is unseen and you believe in the unseen. So we really need to stop disassociating from the reality of Islam and just really understanding what it is and learning about Islam. So I want to learn about Salat. I want to learn what I'm saying. I want to make sure I'm like dressed for the occasion. Like it's a meeting, bro. If I had a meeting with my boss, would I be like rushing through the meeting and trying to leave as soon as possible? No, like I wouldn't be doing that. And it's crazy how like around people, sometimes our salats get a little bit longer, a little bit more, like a little bit slower. And then by ourselves, we go faster. So I want to make sure that I am actively trying to improve my salat and not just accepting that I'm doing it five times a day and that should be it. Like I want to make it better. Okay, wait, I know I said five, but I want to like sneak in one more goal. I really want to be as modest as I can this Ramadan. So I feel like this year I've had a huge growth with modesty, but I want to like take it another step. Like I want to, on the days where my hijab is showing my neck, like I want to tie it up. Or like for those of you who show strands of their hair, of your hair in your hijab, like for Ramadan, try to put that away. Like try little things that make your hijab kind of better and more authentic for the sake of Allah. So I want to be doing that. I want to make my outfits more modest. I want to like order more abayas, even though they're so freaking expensive. I'm going to start my own freaking brand at this point. But I just want to be a Dubai girl. Okay, that's what I'm saying. I want to be a freaking Dubai girl. I want to just make sure that every outfit I am wearing, I could pray in, you know? Like I think that's a good way to think about it. It's like if your outfit you can't pray in it, then you need to be more modest in it, you know? So yeah, for example, even those of you who are not hijabi, like try and make this month the month where you either the second you put on hijab for the masjid, you just keep it on the whole night, or or fully wearing it the entire month of Ramadan. I don't care what anyone says, like, you don't need to entertain the people who are like, oh, why are you wearing hijab now, or why are you praying now, you're so religious. Like, they are speaking from insecurity, and they're speaking from a place where they're like, okay, wait, why am I not doing that? Why am I not strong enough to be better for the month of Ramadan and even after? So I'm going to put you down so that I feel on top. But newsflash, you are actually on top in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's eyes when you make that effort for Him, when you give up things like that cute outfit that you want to wear and you replace it with something more modest. Like, that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. So yeah, I want to be more modest this Ramadan, inshallah, and hopefully after. I just want to make sure I'm more of like a more focusing on the important things of Ramadan instead of like always feeling like I need to be super ready to go out and like, look at me, like I look good, my outfits looks good, my makeup looks good. Like, I want everything to be less flashy. I want to be more focused on what really matters, like my iman, my deen, and even just being with family and friends and like taking less time for myself, I guess, kind of, because I feel like we are so focused on ourselves because currently society has like a huge emphasis on self-care and all that stuff, and trust me, I could talk about that for days. But what I'm saying is kind of less of a focus on you and more of a focus on your heart and your family and your community and your religion and all that. So I want to make sure my intention is there. So yeah, I'm starting with that, and I'm adding more goals of my own, obviously, and I hope that you guys do the same and write them down, like make it your wallpaper. Make it like, make a journal for it, hold yourself accountable, but and remember to not demand perfection. Just make sure you're trying your best and you're actually improving in your deen. Whew, that was a lot, but I hope my goals kind of motivated you guys, because even reading them myself, like, I'm motivated now. But one of my biggest advices that I have for making it easier to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is intentionally creating like an environment where the deen is welcomed and not pushed away. An environment where like you're surrounded by Islam, what you listen to, what you watch, what you say. Make sure Islam is a part of that. Make sure you're watching Islamic videos. Make sure you're listening to nasheeds and lectures and hanging out with your Muslim friends and going to the masjid and decorating for Ramadan. Like, make sure you are surrounded by Islam, because wallahi, that makes it easier. Talk about Islam with your parents. Listen to those podcasts and lectures and share Islamic knowledge and put it on your story and screenshot those quotes. Make them your wallpaper. Like, wear that modest outfit. Join your parents in jama'ah. Like, listen to those du'as in the morning. Make your life surrounded by deen. And wallahi, wallahi, it will become easier and more natural to practice Islam. And you'll start to feel that connection with your Lord, inshallah. So that was a lot. We've talked about a lot of stuff. We got deep. I feel like it was a good reset for our minds. It was a good reset for me. Going into Ramadan, I can't believe how close Ramadan is. I really hope, inshallah, we all make it to Ramadan. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this Ramadan beneficial for us and makes it a month where we take our deen into our own hands, where we improve for the sake of Allah, and we prove that we are worthy of Jannah and we are capable of giving up things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope you guys benefit from this Ramadan. I hope that this podcast helps you kind of get excited for it, because I am very excited for it now. The next few podcasts will obviously be in Ramadan, so it'll be a cute little check-in, and I hope to hear you guys' thoughts about this episode and things that you're nervous about for Ramadan that we can address in other episodes. But yes, of course, thank you guys for listening. Thank you for tuning in. It means so much to me that you guys like my podcast and that you guys look forward to it. It's very heartwarming, and I could not thank you enough for the support. But again, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening in. And I will see you next week. Ramadan Mubarak.